Okay, School of Prayer, that's where we are at today. I want us to continue what we began last time. This is our second meeting for the year. And what I said last time is I want to declare the word of God for the next season of this life. Remember I said that the word prophesy, we read from Ezekiel, when he said, son of man, prophesy. We said that prophesying, I was quoting a statement from the mouth of Pastor Kwajin, which he said is for the orderly arrangement of the earthly things to conform with that which is in the realm of the spirit. That is how it works. If God wants something done, he utters his words in the heavens. And those things are the things we hear, and we now have the duty and the responsibility on the earth to declare them on the earth so that they can come to pass. Remember, I emphasize the fact that prophesying is not the same thing as predicting. It's not as if a prophet is not one who will tell you what's going to happen in the future because that's a warning alone. No. A prophet also declares the word of God so that earthly things will become conformed with the plan and purpose of God. In your life, you must be careful. Please listen to this. We've said it many times. We can't say it enough. You have to be careful that you do not speak according to what you see and therefore declare what you don't want to see. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure you heard me. Let me say it again. Sometimes you look at things in life, and the response of human beings is to, out of what you have seen physically, declare what is going to happen later. And then, when it happens, you will say, I said so. Now, what you don't realize is that it happened not because it was supposed to happen, but it happened because you said so. You said so is not a confirmation that you were right. It's a confirmation that you had power in your words to make it happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like, okay, you see, anytime I say something, no. It's like, now that you say so, you have said, please happen. That is the thing. So we have to be careful as Christians. Now, some people tell you that, assuming that this is not going to happen. Did you hear what I said? It's not going to happen. Assuming there was a war in Nigeria and things became, you know, Nigeria broke up into pieces. Many people say, we said so. We knew it was going to happen. They did not realize that the main thing was that they were saying so. And in the continual saying of so, you get my joke there. In the continual so saying, do you understand? They were energizing. You know, life is first of all in the realm of the spirit. I say this all the time. That's where it's happening. Life is in the realm of the spirit, and then that is the way by which you participate in that spiritual thing is how we speak. Do you understand? That's a major participation. So what we are saying is going out into the spiritual realm. And then when those things happen on the earth, it will be that we said so. Yes, actually, we said so. But it's not as if my prediction was correct. No, it was like my commandment came to pass. That's more like what is happening. For that reason, Christians, be careful that you do not say, especially continually, that which you do not want to see. You are a parent concerning your children. Parents make that mistake a lot. You look at a child, you use his current behavior to predict his destiny. You don't realize that what you are saying is actually what is determining what his destiny will be, not that his behavior. The behavior is a temptation for you to say something. I'm talking with children. Very important. So if a child is behaving a particular way and you don't look like where that is likely to turn out naturally speaking, you start speaking differently into his life, into her life, so as to order things to go differently. So that you won't say that, I always knew he, when he was small, he was very slow. He's still slow like that till today. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, you say, no, I cast out slow. I speak speed. Do you get what I'm saying? Let's bear that in mind. And that is the job of believers. That's my emphasis. That is our job. That is why he said, the Lord God does nothing except he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. That is how the thing that he wants to do gets done. And you are the prophet of God. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. I want to bring that leg in. And the salt of the earth. That is, what happens on the earth is affected and determined by you. Well, we are talking about praying for our country. You understand? That's where I'm going today. But before I get into that, I want to read two scriptures, one of which we have read many times before. In fact, quite a number we are going to read. Quick, let's start from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I want to read verse 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Where I'm going is verse 12. But of course, we'll just back up slightly from verse 9, which is where the paragraph starts in my own Bible. It said, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation." He had given a warning at the beginning. He said, "Though we are speaking in this way, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, having ministered and is still ministering to the saints." Now notice verse 11. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Two words I want to bring out from there quickly: faith and patience. First, in verse 11, it says that we have to show the same example of diligence. We have to make sure we put diligence into what we are doing. Diligence means to apply energy, persistence, pressure in the thing that you are doing. And two key words we see there, that of course the opposite of diligence is being sluggish. It says, so don't be sluggish. So these are the two key words: be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay, now, so those are the two words I want to bring forth again, the word faith and patience. We already know what faith is. My emphasis is on the word patience. Let me just remind us of what patience is again. Before I say something about it, let's quickly go to that thing that Jesus taught us that time, which we have read again and again here from the book of Luke, chapter 18. This is a statement we have read many times, and I want to just bring out a comment that we have passed about it severally. He said in verse 1, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And now said there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man." The concept here was nobody was above him. All right. Some people say that cannot be a type of God. It could be, because the idea is that nobody is above this human being. That's what he was trying to explain here. And then now talked about the widow that kept on coming to him. I'm hurrying because of time. And he said, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." That's New American Standard. But please, before I start talking, there's another scripture I want to read quickly. The book of Matthew chapter 7. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just tell you where it is. Something that we know already, many of us. He said, if you read it in an average Bible, this is how you get to see it. That's the book of Matthew chapter 7. It will tell you that ask and you will receive. That's verse 7 now. And then seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And anyone who seeks finds. And anyone who knocks, to him the door will be opened. Now I want to read from the Amplified Bible for you. All right, please. It said, "Keep on asking and it will be given to you." That's Amplified. "Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking," that's reverently, "and the door will be opened to you." He said, "For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened." Now, there's a reason why I read this, and I think I read everything I want to say. I want to read, then I can answer the things I want to say for the next 30 minutes, then we'll begin to do our declarations. You know, when we were talking about this before that, Luke chapter 18, I emphasized something here. That why Jesus said, why he told the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to get tired or be discouraged, is simply because the likelihood is that you will be discouraged because of things that are happening outwardly. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the likelihood. That is, we're talking about praying for a nation. Two things I have in mind today. I want to declare the word of God concerning the church of God in Nigeria and concerning this country, Nigeria. And of course, any country you are listening to this from, you can also apply it to your own situation. Now, sometimes you pray for one thing, and then what you see immediately is not what you wanted to see. My emphasis today, talking about the issue of prophecy, that is prophesying, the issue of patience. In that Hebrews chapter 6, it said, "Be followers of those who through faith and what? Patience." First of all, what is patience? Patience is that I have faith for something, and then that faith is drawn over time. What it means is that Abraham was called, and 25 years later, he had not seen Isaac. Or 24 and a half years later, he had not seen Isaac. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But at the end of 24 years, he still believed the same God who called him 24 years ago. And at the end of the 25th year, Isaac finally manifested. That the fact that he kept on believing, despite what his eyes were seeing, is what is called patience. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain there? That is what is called patience. The fact that we're talking about the power of words now. The fact that I keep on saying the same things despite what I see outwardly. That's why I read here from that Luke, Matthew chapter 7 in the Amplified Bible. It said, ask and keep on asking. So this is my modification today. Declare and keep on declaring. Do not let what you see outwardly distract you from what you have been saying. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to us. Do not think, because sometimes people who come from maybe Abuja, and they'll tell you, if you see what is going on, oh, you know this country. These are things I hear all the time. If you see what is going on, you know this country has problems. They will start describing things to you. So sometimes when you hear some of these very negative things, they can be discouraging. Are you getting my point? They can really be discouraging. Maybe, okay, when PHCN was finally sold, you know, Gencos and Discos, you thought that after, some people thought that it would be like the days of telecom. Once they rolled out the licenses, 6 months later, phones were all over the place. 3 years later, phones were, lines were cheap and all of that. Of course, the technology is very different. You know, things are generally more complicated on this particular aspect. But people expected that, and it's not yet happening. So what happens is that the natural human mind gets tired. That's what I'm going to explain. And that's why the good Lord warned us ahead. The Bible says he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. They ought to pray and not to get tired. You know, ask and keep on asking. Declare and keep on declaring. Close your eyes to what is happening. What you are doing is that you are waging war. Do you get my point? You are waging war. You are waging war. You won't say, I've fired 17 bullets. Their opponents are still there. So guys, let's stop firing. Do you get what I'm saying? The more of the opponents you see, the more the number of guns you pull in, and the more the amount of ammunition that you expend. If before you were, every 1 minute, you release like 10 rounds, now you have to release 30 rounds because they are coming in large numbers. You will not say that because I have not yet seen what I expect, therefore I will stop firing. And that's what I'm going to explain. All of these things, it is what? Warfare. What you are doing is to get engaged in warfare. For that reason, you cannot allow yourself to be discouraged. Another point I should quickly bring out, and that's the fact that your words are actually working. God is actually doing something. All the reports you hear, this is how Satan works. Listen to this. This is how Satan works. And that's how, you know the full meaning of CNN? Who knows the full meaning of CNN? Calamity News Network. Thank you. It is Calamity News Network. That's what we call Satan. They amplify the negative things so as to make you lose heart, so as to make you faint. Like when they want to pursue their own agendas. Like now, the other day I read a report on Charisma News, and they said something that even me, I had fallen for the opposite. They said, you've heard it before, that divorce rate in America 50%. 50% of all marriages end up in divorce, and that is the same rate that you have inside the church. You heard that thing before? Have you ever heard that? Do you know it's not true? The 50% in the general population is true, but that for Christians the same, I found that it's a lie. That the people who are actually churchgoers there, just for going to church, their divorce rate is much lower than that of the general population. So I can imagine that for those who are committed believers, theirs are even better. Do you understand my point? Their marriage is even better. Do you understand? So that the divorce rate is much lower. But then, Satan won't let you hear that. It keeps on amplifying to you. I told you before that when Benny Hinn and his wife got a divorce, of course, everybody knew. It was everywhere, everybody knew. I'm sure CNN carried it, because they had to show you that you guys are as bad as the rest of us. Then, 2 years later, the man and his wife remarried themselves in a grand ceremony. You should have seen it. I saw it on TV. About 2 days after it happened. You have seen the ceremony. Who officiated? Jack Hayford, one of the most prominent American Christians, editor of, Spirit Life Field Bible. Who was the guest minister? Alvin Slaughter. Who blessed the couple? Rehan Bonnke. Yeah, no, I'm serious. This was the caliber of human beings they gathered. I've not mentioned the other. I'm just mentioning a few for you. The size of choir, we have not discussed it. I just mentioned one person who was leading songs, Alvin Slaughter, who the whole world, Christian world, knows. I just mentioned the officiating minister for you. I saw this one live on Twitter. You take this woman, this old woman, as a, your lawful. This was Abraham marrying Sarah. I mean, their grandchildren were on the train. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Grandchildren, I didn't say their children. No. Their children were there quite a lot. But I'm talking about grandchildren. So you don't blame me for saying like that. But then, do you know, most people never heard it. Very few people knew it until I told them. Why? The news won't carry it. It's bad news for them. That is why I tell people, in your country, listen, oh God, let me try not to preach too much, all right? Listen, if you're a businessman, we're all businessmen, amen? We are all businessmen and women, say amen. Even if ministry is your business, at least it's something you are doing. If a civil service is your business, it's something you are doing, all right? Let nobody tell you that you can't invest in this country. Now, for those who are investing a lot, all of us are investing, but you know what I'm talking about. They say, don't invest in this country because you don't ever listen, invest. What did I say? Invest. Do you know why? Two reasons. One, people are investing and getting richer. And by the time you realize that nothing bad will happen, you will be poor, they will be rich. Do you get my point? That is number one. Number two is that God is not even judging you based on the outcome. He's judging you based on whether you invested. Every action in your life makes a statement. Every inaction makes a statement. Let me give you an example. You are praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, progress, unity, we speak against war. Then they say, okay, please, they are selling land in this place, and if you have your factory, it will be good. Now you look and say, Ross, it's risky. Once you say it, your prayers in church are ineffective. This is business, this decision, though. It's canceling your all-night prayer. I've told you, all this hunger to pray, I'm sorry to say it, it doesn't mean anything. The real place of fasting. He said, is this the fast I have chosen? He said, this is the fast I have chosen. It is not the hunger. It is the thing, they are the things that you do that constitute the fast of God. It's easy to go hungry. Muslims do it every year. Broke people do it every day. No, I'm serious. You can be paying God off with your hunger. I'm telling you. You can be out there paying God off with your hunger while disobeying Him. You want to see a fast. I'll tell you what a fast is. Real fast is that they say, you don't know this country. Okay, let me give you an example now. All right? Naturally speaking, I'm from Western Nigeria. You know that. The other day, who was I discussing with? I said, I bought land somewhere. So, my wife and I are discussing that we want to build a house. I said, where? I said, what's wrong with you? I live in Enugu. Where should it be? I don't know what I hear what I'm going to say. What is the why? What is the where? The idea is that, okay, is it... Are you going back to Ondo State to go and start laying foundation? Are you getting what I'm saying? Then I wake up in Enugu every day. I'm blessing the land. I am praying for the land. It will prosper. It will make progress. Then you now dash me some millions of naira. I will now go to where? To go and build house. I smoke something. I'm not kidding. Literally. In fact, I don't remember to pray for Ondo State unless I'm praying for the whole of Nigeria. Yet Enugu, I declare over Enugu regularly. I'm driving at night, I'm speaking. My wife and I, we are gisting, we are declaring. I have not prayed for the next governor from those states. It's not that you and I are talking, I realize that those prayers are possible. Yet in Enugu, I have decreed. I don't know whether you get my point. I have decreed and I have, in the realm of the spirit, warned whoever wants to be the next governor. Do well or you will not last. You now give me money to build a house. It will be foolishness. I don't know what is my point. Where I have sown the seed, I'm not going to chop the fruit. Do you get what I'm going to say? This is where I sow seed, for goodness sake. I'm talking about spiritual seed. I don't mean put all money in offering basket. I'm talking. No, we have to know it now. You know, Christians, their minds have been so corrupted. They don't know the meaning of things sometimes. So you have to say, it's true. The seed I'm talking about is the word of God. I have planted more word of God seed in this state, not less than 20 times that which I planted in my state of natural birth. Not less than 20 times. Listen to me. I must collect my portion of the fruit. The Bible says, yes, it said, the husbandman that labors must be a first partaker of the fruit. Can't be here every day declaring that you're going to share better thing for the town. I don't go call and say, oh, no, you know I'm from Ondo State. Give yourself a knock on the head. Now, I'm talking about statements, you understand? Your actions or inactions, they make statements. Now, say, what if it is risky? That is it. Faith is risky. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, what if one day somebody just drives, okay? They say, Abia for Abians. You know, there's one joke they were cracking. Can you remember it? It happened a few years ago. As I tell you, say, in this country, better forget, better believe in God. There's no, you don't have any brother anywhere. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because by the time you finish dividing Abia for Abians, you now see it's Ungwa for Ungwans. You they will shift those from one area. Then when you reach there, they go divide them again. Those from Isia Langwa for those from the Ukwa Langwa, move away. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So the people said, okay, what if that happens? I said, well, it's a, look, this is what I'm talking about. That is real fast. I'm talking about real fast. To be able, to be willing to lay down, say, okay, if I lose it, let me lose it. But this is where my investment is. That's the fast I'm talking about. This going hungry is a cheap way to do it. You want to really do the fast of God, you put your money at risk. Carry your money to run that. You know, sometimes I look at people, I feel sorry. I don't want to start preaching that message now. Listen, these are your children, especially those of you who have money. Make sure your money is not a disadvantage to them. I see we export children every day, like commodity. If you are listening to this, all I want to do is beg you. Make sure that your money does not become a problem for your children in the future. That's all I can say. Many Christians who are praying for the country, they are praying. Their prayers are not very effective. Why? They have exported their children. Their heart is not there. They should not be exported into safety. Then you come to church and say, we are praying for the country. You're fast. Well, my brother, better go and eat. Honestly, go and eat. You have protected yourself so well that your heart cannot groan. I'm telling you. This is what I'm making. So don't let the things outwardly, all right? Don't let them discourage you. That's what I'm going to say. Do what is right all the same. And let, I like, once I heard that, I listened to some Pastor W.F. Kumuyi tapes. That was some years ago. And he made a statement. He was giving some characteristics of faith. The only one I remember very clearly, this quite means, I mean, this is about 8 years ago or so, what I'm telling you about now, the messages. The one I remember is one that he said, faith risks. That's what he said. It takes a risk. That's what that one stuck with me because that's the only time I ever heard anybody say it. Faith sometimes is a matter of if I perish, I perish. Listen, I'd rather save, in quote now, save money, invest it in Enugu. And then one day, one man wakes up and says, Abians for Abia for Abians, and kicks me out. I will feel better. Are you getting my point? I will feel better even though I lost a 50 million naira investment. Than for it to be that while I claimed to be praying and ministering in a particular place, I had no faith in it. In the realm of the spirit, my brother, my sister, your actions are making statements. And these are things that God puts together. All right? To determine what somebody's future will be like. To talk. Talk is not the thing. Just that talk, say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Then when you start making decisions, say, God, we'll praise you, but let's just wait. Let's make sure we are safe. Sometimes we just take the risk. There's one man, I read the story. I have said my Father in heaven. That one, I faith. God has to breathe into you the spirit of faith. Please, if you have not read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, go and read it. You need that spirit of faith. This man, he was an educated and privileged Indian who felt God had called him. I told the story. The name of the book is The Book That Changed Your World, something like that. That is how the principles of Christianity from the scriptures form modern civilization. That's what I'm trying to say. But when the man told the story, I said, my father, I've told the story here before. He had to go and minister. He relocated from the city, that's in India, and then went into the villages, the rural areas, to go and live. Now, these are violent places. Once he traveled, his father and his mother decided to, you know, take care of their children while they were gone. That he and his wife, they traveled. Do you know these hoodlums attacked the family? And they said they were going to remove the eyes of the father. The man had to pledge that he would give them all his life savings if they spare his eyes. So they had an agreement. Can you imagine, thief enter your house? You didn't do anything against him. These are demon-possessed creatures. And the old man, true to his word, next day, he had an agreement with the thieves. He went and gathered all the money he had from the bank and dropped it somewhere for them. Of course, he returned back home in the midst of all of this. And of course, everybody told him that, look, what are you doing there? And this is a privileged young man. He didn't have to be in the village. He could go back to the city and make a good life for himself. He said, no, this is where God wants me to stay and minister to people. The next thing he knew was that people were pressuring him. No, okay, you know, you can't stay here. You from where you are, just be sponsoring the work and coordinating it. He said, no, I'm staying. Let them come back. They said, okay, what about your wife? He said, all right, he will leave his wife to make the decision. So, of course, it's not easy. I mean, they're virtually unprotected. These are armed bandits. These are not jokers that you are dealing with. So the wife said, okay, give me time to pray. The wife prayed and prayed, and then they came back one day and told the husband, look, if you are staying, I'm staying. It's for better, for worse. So the woman stayed. Now listen to this. Some people, you know the way these kind of good works, they spread around. They have been observing the work, so some Americans wanted to come and help them. And the Americans were women. When this crisis broke, are you still going to go? I don't know whether it's one or two of them. Are you still going to go? They said, they were considering it. So they were observing. Do you know what they were waiting for? They wanted to know whether his wife would stay. They are women. That's a woman. So when they heard that the man's wife was going to stay, they said, we are going. Say, if not die, we'll go all die together. See how God will work. When the Americans arrived, the bandits said, these are Americans, so Americans have planted them there now to come and catch us. They ran away. This is how God worked. When the Americans arrived, maybe one or two women, the gist spread around that these guys came from America. And if you know the world, the way they fear and hate America. So the bandits just talked to them and said, oh boy, those people that have eyes in the sky, if you touch one of them, they actually were planning to attack the family. But when they heard that the American woman or women came, they just left them alone. And his work continued to flourish. This is the way God did it. Some of these things in life that they attest to. I'm not saying you should take a rash decision. The woman went and prayed. After some days of this, that's what they talk about fasting. Not fasting to kill your enemies. You know, all the witches in your neighborhood. All the neighborhood will think you are a witch also. So your fasting is confirmation. They say, can't you see that man? He has donated his soul to the devil. He'll be getting thinner and thinner and thinner. You don't know how human beings interpret things. If you grow fat, they say he has donated his soul to the devil. He'll be getting fatter and fatter and fatter. Whichever one. I know we're talking about fasting. This one, they went and settled down, prayed, the woman came with a decision. The man said he didn't want to pressure her at all. The woman said to him simply, if you stay, I'm staying. It's for better, for worse. Are you getting the point I'm making? And the Lord now used that one to work out deliverance for them. How did I even get into all of this? Let me try and retrace my steps. I was trying to explain the fact that, listen, don't be discouraged with what is going on outside. And even if it looks like it's risky, there are risks you take as a sign of your faith. I mean, look at money. Money is a simple thing. So if you invest money here, you could lose it. Say, but I'm praying for the place. Let me lose it. Put the money inside there. Continue praying for the place. This, my money, is a sign to God that I really mean it when I said he should bless this land. He said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. And God answered. He said, go and sow in tears. What does it mean to sow in tears? He said, he that sows in tears, carrying his bag of seed, shall doubtless again return with rejoicing, bringing his harvest with him. What was he trying to explain? They say, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. They were talking about the fact that the land is dry, things are not working. And God said, don't wait for me to pour water. Sow in the land, then I will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. That is why you don't just pray for a country, you put your money inside investments inside there. Do you know what I said? You can't be praying for Nigeria investing in America. That prayer will never work. You are praying for Nigeria, your investment is in Tunisia. No. It's a restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. At the end of the day, the answer was, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. After you have finished praying the prayer, he says, start sowing in tears. Let me try and remember where I started from. And that's the fact that we must never get discouraged. If we are sowing our words, let us continue sowing the words. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, one of the things I will teach you about later, maybe on Saturdays, talking about this kingdom lifestyle, is the fact that you're not just laboring for yourself. All these labors are not just for yourself. It's just to fulfill the will of God. We are not praying for our nation or the church of God only because it will be a blessing to us. No, we are praying those prayers because we know that this is exactly what God wants to do. God wants to renew his church. He wants to fill it with truth. He wants to bless the land. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And if you own something, you don't want it to spoil. Do you hear what I said? I don't know whether I hear that. Therefore, God desires for good to be in this land. That's it. So, whether now we'll partake of it if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that amen is not convincing.
Amen.
Let your amen sound like thunder.
Amen.
Why are they laughing? I should do things like that more often now. All right, the Lord is good. So now we are going to eat of it, most certainly. But I'm saying whether we do or not, the fact is that it is the will of God. That is, even if I was 99 years old today, and I feel like, well, in the next few years, I should have departed from this earth, I will still be doing what I am saying now. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Knowing that this is what God wants to do. Go and read it well. To bring God's promises down to the earth, the Bible said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not inherit those promises. But they saw them from afar, and they rejoiced, and they confessed that they were just pilgrims on this earth. That is, they are just here to do the will of God. They have done their part in bringing the promises of God down to the earth. And with that, they were glad. Do you get my point? That's it. So, what's the summary? We walk with patience. That's the summary. No matter what we are seeing, we maintain one thing. What we have been declaring concerning the nation, what we have been declaring concerning our lives, and what we have been declaring concerning the church of God. And what I want us to do today, yes, I think I've done well with my timing now, is I want us to pray for two things. In one, this is the election year in Nigeria. And then also, I want us to understand again that the most important thing in this country, as far as I understand it, is the church of Christ. And the major problem we have had in a country like ours, we've prayed about it before, just wanted to declare the word of God, is that there's too much, when you see corruption in the world, let me say it again, it is because the corruption exists inside the church. For the amount of Christianity we have in Nigeria, if the corruption did not exist in the church, the one in the world would be difficult. It would really be difficult. That's a matter of fact. So we need to pray. We need to pray for truth to, you know, fill the church of Christ. And then, of course, I said to us before, all the noise we have been hearing, like when my wife was leading prayers earlier, she also referred to it. The people saying all kinds of negative things about election and all. What will happen? Fire will burn. Fire will not burn anything. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yes. We will quench the fire with our words. Listen to this. If I believe this is the word of God. You know, the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if they were dreaming. Do you understand? This election will come and go. You will ask, has it come? Has it gone?
Amen.
It will be so peaceful, even Boko Haram will get tired.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? You will see a man congratulate the opponent. We tried what we could, but we thank God. Congratulations, Mr. President. Congratulations, Mr. Governor, Mr. Senator. It will be congratulations galore when the results are being read.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In fact, we're already praying. What are we waiting for again? Don't be prepared with that. We don't start. I was listening to, I read the report of the INEC chairman, Professor Jega, and he said that last elections were not bad, but they were not perfect. And he pledged to deliver a better election this time. So it will be in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now we'll take our cards, we'll go out peacefully, and it shall be well with us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If I were already praying. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We will go out peacefully,
to vote.
And we'll return home in peace.
And we'll return home in peace.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
say,
no violence.
We occur in this land
in
the name of Jesus.
That
God will paralyze the hand of the violent man. Say like you want it. The Lord will paralyze the arms of the violent ones. Now listen to this. Here's the word of God. He will send many to sleep. They only wake up long after the election.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Those who want to foment trouble, they will go to sleep. Some of them, you know, God works in different ways. Some, they've been looking for a visa for a long time. God was giving visa. Say, this troublemaker, go to Tunisia. You go and visit, they will be looking at Tunisia. Wow, beautiful place. By the time he comes back, election is over. Some, they wanted to come back. You know, right now in New York, everybody's at home because of a storm. The day he wants to travel back, storm will happen. God will create storm. They will cancel his flight for one whole week. By the time he comes back home, everywhere will be so peaceful, you're not going to talk again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is what is going to happen. That's what we are declaring. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We, the church of God, we are saying concerning this nation that we are tired of bloodshed.
Amen.
And therefore it will come to an end.
Amen.
That God will show mercy upon this land in this year in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That God will show mercy upon this land in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That every mouth, every word that has gone forth, that has prophesied violence, that has prophesied bloodshed, we cancel those words now by the power of the mercy of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Peace will be upon this country.
Amen.
I said peace will be upon this country.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We said peace will be upon this. Everybody say peace will be upon this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I will not have to run at noonday or be troubled at night. Now declare this, in peace I will lie down and sleep.
In peace I will lie down and sleep.
Say, in peace we will lie down and sleep.
In peace we will lie down and sleep.
Because the Lord alone will make us dwell in safety.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it again, in peace we will lie down and sleep. Because the Lord alone will make us dwell in safety. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something. Listen, this is what God wants the church of God to do. If there will be peace, it is because we want peace. Do you get my point? And listen, the Bible says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He that is from above is above all. If what we say is most important. That's what I'm going to say. It is most important. it's most important. Remember, I started by talking about patience. Patience. No matter what you hear, what people threaten, don't worry. Just keep on declaring these words that we are speaking. You wake up in the morning, these words are the things that the angels need. Do you get, if you read this book, Frank Peretti, two of them, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. Interesting stories. Fiction, though, but interesting. Then when I used to, of course, being a Bible student, a disciple of the Word, the things that he says in there, we enjoy reading the books, but you want to check how accurate they are according to scriptures. There was one in which he would say that maybe the evil spirits and an angel, what's the name of that angel? Those who have read it, Tal. Remember Tal? One of the captains in the Lord's army. So Tal, anytime Tal appears, the demons will know that there's trouble, that they brought one of these powerful angels. And then once Tal and one of these demons, they were fighting. You know the way every film now, final action, the actor and the boss will start fighting. You didn't watch Chinese when you were young. you have actor and the boss. What do they call it? That's what we were calling when we were young, So we thought actor was always a good man and the boss was always a wicked soul. So there was this final showdown like that between Tal, being one of the most powerful angels in the Lord's army, and the boss on the other side. And so they were fighting. At a point in time, Tal was getting injured, if I remember well. And then, of course, the Christians couldn't see what was going on in the realm of the spirit, but they knew something was going on. So they were praying. So Tal was getting injured. The demon had injured him, torn his wings and all of that. They were, fighting. Bang, 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 bang. Bishik, 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 bishik. all those things. So then at a point in time, Tal was not really getting weak and getting tired. It looked like the demons were overpowering him. So I don't know. I think he now sent a signal. So the Holy Spirit now began to move the church to start praying and praying. And then one of the women there got a word of knowledge to bind a particular evil spirit named by that other one. So now began to bind that spirit, Then the spirit began to get tired. And Tao was getting stronger. And finally, he gave his final Bruce Lee kick. Boom! And then the evil spirit disappeared into the abyss. And the film was over, So, I watched that and I thought to myself that, is this how it really happens? Must God reveal to us the name of an evil spirit to bind? Maybe, I'm not saying it's wrong, But later on I began to study and I realized that what the man described in there is similar to what actually happens. But what really happens, please understand this, is not at that moment of battle that you start deciding which demons you bind and the ones you don't bind. That's what I'm talking about. It's before then, now this is my understanding of it, that we, based upon the prayers we have prayed, are you getting my point? And the weapons we have issued, that's what will decide whether the angels will fight or they won't fight. They are not coming there to risk their, in quotes, lives for nothing. They know the battle that they are going to win. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They know. So it's not as if when they are fighting, just say, okay, pray to help your angels. No. If you issue the weapons, they will come collect it and fight. If you did not, there will be no point. That's what I'm trying to describe. Listen, the strength with which the angels fight on our behalf, all right, it's determined by how we perform. I can prove it from scriptures. Now, I'm going to lay scriptures side by side with a story I read in the book, Angels on Assignment. Occasionally I recommend books. Let me recommend that one for you again, Angels on Assignment. I recommended it years ago, all right, by one Pastor Buck. Angels, well, that's a story, all right? The man who told the story is Pastor Buck. But I think it was written by some other people. But the name is Angels on Assignment. Inside the book, Angels on Assignment, you will read about how the... what do you call these guys now? And what do you mean that walled city? Jericho. How the wall of Jericho fell down. It was in that book I heard for the first time that actually the wall of Jericho did not fall down. It sank. And when I read the scriptures, most versions of the Bible will tell you that, and the wall fell down flat. But if you read the commentary by Bollinger, who did not read Angels on Assignment, he's just a Bible scholar, analyzing the Hebrew, he said that the Hebrew word says, and the walls went down under itself. That's literal Hebrew. But you know, it doesn't make any sense to the English mind. So the people bringing it down to English said that it fell down flat. That's when I thought about it. It couldn't have fallen down flat because the Bible says that each of the children of Israel, the warriors, they went straight ahead of them. If the walls fell down, number one, you first move back while it is falling, lest it falls. Do you get my point? And after that, you don't just go in front of you. You will climb in front of you and dodge rubble. No. The man said in the book that the angels that did the assignment, one of them was among the angels that he saw in the vision, described to him what happened. That they were on the walls. When they gave the signals, they pushed it down. So what happens is that the Israelites surrounded the city. The city was well-walled. Then they gave the shout. Do you get my point? And then next thing you knew was that there was no wall. You look below you, you see the ground is a bit rough, but you're looking at the top of the wall that had gone into the ground. And that's why they could walk straight ahead of them. I read that in the book, which was a revelation, you know. Somebody had a vision. Except that when I now read the Bible actually correlates that this was what happened. You're going to read the Companion Bible by R.W. Bollinger. He explained that the literal Hebrew says the walls went down. The wall went down under itself. So the wall was up here. Next thing, it was down there. Flat ground. Why am I telling the story? If you read the biblical account, from that story, I know that, of course, we know that's most of what happened anyway, that the angels pushed the walls down. But how did they push the walls down? That's the point. The weapon with which they pushed the walls down, actually, was the weapon of obedience to the instructions of God. As the people began to surround the city, every day they would go around once. Every day they go around once. On the seventh day, they went around seven times, surrounding the walls, and then they gave the shout. After the priests blew the trumpets, they gave the shout. This is how I see it. The shout that they give, the shout of praise, the shout of rejoicing, the shout of victory, was the spiritual energy that the angels needed to push that wall into the ground. If they had kept quiet, the angels would have just sat there. So boy, push now. The gravity is too much. The resistance is too much. The angels, but then when the people gave the shout, suddenly, now just imagine it, their muscles bulged. Do you get what I say? The wings flapped. Boom, guys, oh, boom. Suddenly they went to the ground. I said, guys, of course, those who just moved back, said the guys who want to fight. Michael and his angels, you guys go and fight. We have pushed down the walls for you. The victory will do you win the battle again. Depends on some other things. We know that the victory that we have as Christians is dependent upon some critical things we do with our lives and with our mouths. In AI, is it AI or I? How do you pronounce that now? A and I. That city. Uh-huh. Joshua won the war, was winning the battle as long as the arms of Moses were up. What we do physically determines what happens spiritually. And that now determines what happens physically. You see the way it's going? Is there going to be peace in the country? You and I will decide. Are you getting my point? You and I will do what? We decide. So let's declare again, say in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
there will be peace in this nation.
There will be peace in this nation.
From the north,
to the south,
to the east,
to the west.
Every corner,
there will be peace.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say
in this year 2015,
order returns to this nation.
Peace envelopes this nation.
Every corner of it.
Borno State,
Yobe
State,
Adamawa State,
and the rest of the country.
Say thus far and no further.
That this wave of destruction will not go any further in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are the one declaring it. Now listen to me. Peace will so envelop this country. People will travel to come and see. You know, Nigeria is a good country and God has done it for us before. Nigerians talk about the Civil War, 67 to 70. One of the things we hardly talk about is that it's one war that ended and ended. Go to Angola and you will know what they are talking about. Years after war ends, children are still losing their limbs by walking to the bush. Yes. People still get killed in the Horn of Africa
from bombs that were left behind during the Second World War. One day I was watching on Al Jazeera. One man was describing how, you know, spiritual things are interesting. He's a shepherd. He said one day he dreamt that he was drinking a cup of tea and it fell and poured on his leg. And his leg got burnt by the hot tea. The next day, he went out on his normal shepherd this thing, and mines that were planted in the Second World War, he stepped on one. This was just a few years ago. It exploded and took that particular leg he dreamt about and took it off. That is, decades later, mines planted during Second World War was still killing people. In Nigeria, you didn't hear that one. So when everybody finished fighting, they carried their gun, buried it, and then the country began to rearrange. Listen, God has done such things for us before. That's the point I'm making. And he will do it for us again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, this insurgency in the north, let me give you something, all right? It's for a season. And God is doing something with it, actually. We have prayed, and he has heard us. Like one brother was saying that, how should a Christian react when God determines destruction? I said there are a number of prayer points. One of them is that you pray for how it will affect you. Number two, you can also pray for how long it will last. Even though God determined that something should last 7 days, read the scriptures, but because of the elect, it said that it will be reduced to, it can be shortened. All right? So things like that happen. So we can pray and say, God, you need to shorten things. That's number one. Then number two is that, now I made those points about that, but the another point I want to make about it is that when this thing has finished its course, listen, the course has been determined. I don't know it. I don't know how long it will last because we have prayed about it. You and I have prayed about it, declared the word of God about it, and definitely it will run a particular course which God has already granted us that has been shortened. Then when it is over, this is what I wanted to hear. The gospel of this kingdom shall be preached to every corner of Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Big churches will grow up in Maiduguri.
Amen.
Mission fields will spring all over those places that Boko Haram move around. Big, that is, mission fields, huts, small towns, you know, places will become churches all over the place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And the effect will be felt as far as Sokoto. Amen. That's on the other end. Listen, the spirit of the bondwoman is being driven out of this world.
Amen.
Yes. In this country, this gospel will prosper into every corner.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In this country, this gospel will prosper into every corner.
Amen.
I just had the feeling just now. There are a few missionaries sitting down here with me this evening, and they're still looking for work. Don't worry. Find work. Do the work. But eventually, you will call me one day from Sambisa, the edge. Sir, when will you have time? I said, don't worry, I have time right now. Then we'll go there and teach the word of God. Are you getting my point?
Amen.
You will have gone there as a missionary. You will have planted the word in those places.
Amen.
And you are sitting down here this evening. And you will remember that we had this discussion today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Right now, you are still looking for work. You are doing business. You are buying and selling. You are doing this, and don't worry. The land is being cleared for you.
Amen.
What is going on right now is called plowing. What did I call it?
Plowing.
It's being plowed. It's being plowed. Then afterwards, you will go. You will go and sow a seed in that place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, listen to me. This country is a good land. Declare it. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
This land
is a good land.
It's a fertile land.
It will bring good for me.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say,
in this land, I will sow into it.
And
in the same year,
I will reap a hundredfold.
And I will become richer.
And
I will become stronger.
And
I will become great.
And
use my influence to spread the gospel of Jesus.
In
the name of Jesus Christ. Declare upon Nigeria again where you are seated. Say,
in the name of Jesus.
Power will be constant.
Say,
wisdom to make it happen will come.
Wisdom
in the name of Jesus Christ. Now say this, in the name of Jesus Christ, corruption will become a thing of the past. It will become a thing of shame. Let's take that one again. Say it will become a thing of shame. Say it will become a thing of shame. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, we cannot prophesy things that, like God does, we say that even God says, I wish that nobody will steal again in Nigeria. I don't have that faith. So then in heaven that nobody will steal. Do you get what I'm saying? But you can prophesy that the thief in Nigeria will become a shamed person. Do you get what I'm saying? Because it's not stealing is not the problem. I mean, the former governor of Chicago, I think I mentioned to you before. That's is he a governor of Chicago now? You can't be governor of Chicago. Chicago is a city. Yes, the governor of Illinois, all right? You know, Obama is from Chicago. He tried to sell Obama's seat when Obama won the presidential election. And he has a right to appoint a senator to replace Barack Obama. That's where American Constitution is. So the man decided to sell it. So if he's the only Nigerians that sell things. But you know where the guy is right now? He's in jail. He's in prison. Not 5 years imprisonment, like 15 or 18 years. You know, when Americans want to put you in jail, they know how to manufacture it. Attempted selling of presidential senatorial seat. Conspiracy to sell it. That's a different charge. Because you conspired. Then, for selling it by phone, is wire fraud. For discussing the sale on phone, is now a federal offense. For receiving the first installment of the money and attempting to sell it, another offense. By the time they finish, they will give you small imprisonment. But oh boy, just go and buy a casket. You are dying in prison. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why I went into that juice is that, see, there are thieves everywhere. That's what I'm going to say. But our prayer is that man was a governor just for trying to sell his senatorial seat. He's in prison. Just for arranging to sell it to the highest bidder. He is currently in jail. That's what we are saying. We're not praying that God, there will be no city in Nigeria again. No. We don't. If you have that faith, go ahead and pray that I don't have it. What I'm saying is that it will become a thing of shame in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That it will come to pass that when a policeman wants to collect Roger, he will come to go. They will follow each other to the bush. No, when I was young, you know, this Roger thing didn't start today. When I was a child, that's how they used to do it. Where are your particulars? The guy hand it over. They open the particulars. As he's opening it, something will drop. Okay. Close it back. And they look for it. All right. Go on. Next. But now, what am I saying? That this is our prayer. This is the prayer we're praying. That it will come to pass. That all these things will become matters of shame in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That people will actually be afraid. That's what we're saying. Because when it gets to that, you will realize, you will tell a man, like, when you say, bring what? He said, no, I was just saying, bring your tie, bring your shoe. I mean, I was saying, he starts stammering. That's what we are praying to God for. That this audacity, this, what's the word? The effrontery, it's another word. Impunity, thank you. That's what I was looking for. That, you know, that's very popular in Nigeria right now. That impunity will come to an end in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will come to a time that you would look at a man like this and say, what did you say? I should bring what? He will say, no, sir. I didn't say you should bring anything. I was calling my wife that she should bring my lunch. So I thought so too. So that honest people will be able to do business without watching their backs.
Amen.
Without making allowance for extra things. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is what we are asking for. That anyone who wants to do honest business will not become a prey all of a sudden. Because what annoyed God, he said God looked and it annoyed him. And he was grieved. It grieved him that anyone who will turn
away from iniquity makes himself a prey. That's what we are saying will not happen. That men, women who want to live righteously, who want to do business without giving bribe or accepting, will be able to do it with ease in this country. It will happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We declare upon this land that righteousness will prevail in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, because of time, let's quickly switch to the next gear. Because I said something earlier, that the foundation for all of these things is truth in the church. You know that. Oh, please tell your pastor or your bishop. If you are in a big church, many people come. On Sunday, you just say, anybody who cheats his neighbor this week, thunder will fire you. If you say that every week, you know, people will stop. You know, that we're always shooting Holy Ghost fire on enemies. No. Say, brethren, judgment must begin in the house of God. Any Christian this week that takes bribe to twist justice, let punishment come speedily. The amen won't be resounding, you know. But fear will come in. That this pastor will say, please, today as you have come for Thanksgiving, this basket, offering basket, is going to go around. It rejects stolen money. If you put it inside, you're on your own. You have reported yourself to the Lord of hosts, and it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. I want to warn you ahead of time that you shall fall into the hand of the living God if you put stolen money in the offering basket today. No, let's face it. Initially, offering will drop. It will drop. But I've read the scriptures enough to know that no matter how little the offering drops, it will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. So, listen, he is not limited by anything. I came to the understanding recently, he is only limited by what we are expecting and we are willing to do. Listen, Seeking Lord Ministries, if the day we decide that, look, this is going on TBN, the money will come. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. It's not the money that's the issue. It's for us to just say, this is where we are setting our goal on. I told you before, well, first I went to Radio Nigeria to go and say I want to do broadcast. No, Cosmo FM. When they told me how much I would pay. Now the money looks small for what we are paying now. You know, now. But when they told me, I looked at the girl. You know the kind of thing when they tell you. He said, hey, are you sure? You're going to do one magic from your back. But what? Because I want to preach, I pay this amount of money. And you are very wicked. He said, you don't need to be thanking me for coming. So I ran away. Then one day I was listening to a message. What the man of God said till now, I can't remember. But I know something inside me said, time to go on air. I said, okay, I'm going back to that same radio station. We negotiated. The money came down a bit. I got a discount. No, I went to, there was Cosmo. I went to, FRCN. Then when I said, okay, maybe next week I'll come and pay, or the following day or so, I'll come back to see them. We didn't have the money. Just as I said, I'll come back and see them. Someone now said, okay, no, I should. Someone, why don't you go to Cosmo? I said, Cosmo, for what? I went there before. When they told me something, man, I ran. He said, just go and see them again. This time around, I went. Let's make a long story short. It was like, this time around, they said, how much can you offer us? That was the gist this time. So I offered what was 40 pieces. Okay, first time they said 25,000 naira each time you speak on radio. So when I came by, I said, I'll give you 10,000. So the lady, Sandra, we talked, go there. Finally, we arrived at 15. By the following, 6 months later, we're paying 11. The first day I went, they said 25. But when the program became so, you know, popular, they liked it. So one day I went, I said, did you want to split this program to 15 minutes twice? He said, no, Pastor, 30 minutes is good. In fact, is it money? I said, as part of it. He said, go and talk to our guys. I'm sure they can work out something. Then they just suddenly returned, okay, pay us 100,000 every month, flat. I'll broadcast you twice a week, 30 minutes. It came to 10,900 naira thereabout. It was the same place I went first, and they told me 25,000 naira. The first time we paid, actually, my wife and I paid the whole money. The first time we paid. But God is my witness. Since then, till now, if I like, I don't put one kobo. We still pay. Do you get what I'm going to say? See, God is not, it's what we are willing to expand to collect. That's it. Because the money will come. It will come. In the name of Jesus, it will come.
Amen.
Listen, let's go. The last thing I just want to say, why I went to all of that, so we, as a pastor, we don't need to be afraid. We can tell the truth and we still will not lack. That's what I'm saying. We can tell the truth and still not lack. We can. So we can boldly say to people who come to our church, we are sorry, we don't accept stolen money. If your pump is rigged, you own a filling station, you're a member of this church, you are hereby banned from giving offering. If you sell fake products, this offering basket has rejected your offering on behalf of God. And you talk that one like that, eh? Next market day, man, every man go arrange you. All the fake things will come to the side. They will label it fake, buy cheap. Fake, please buy it. Because you say, pastor, after God has rejected my offering. You know, when God rejects your offering, you're in trouble. No, go and read your scriptures. For God to accept your offering, it's an issue. That is a blessing. For your offering to be accepted. Why do you think Cain was so angry when he gave an offering and it was not accepted? So when as a pastor, I tell people ahead of time, your offering is not accepted if it is stolen. Boys will go to the, they will go back and say, we know they steal again. Because before we thought, when we steal, we share it. You know, God is a mafia don. We catch the rabbit, then we share it. So we steal a million naira, we go to church, we pay a tithe. That silences the devourer. Another first fruit, it silences the God. You know, like, devourer has been silenced, God is silenced. We share the money. But now when the pastor has told you, your pastor has informed you that the money is not accepted. That if for putting inside there, self, headache. And not headache that comes and goes. When he enters, until you confess and collect the money back, he's not going. Listen, you'll be surprised. Suddenly, PDP will count votes and say, sir, this one is not very clear. He's hereby annulled. That is, at the end of the day, you'll be surprised. What happened in this country? What happened is just that the church stopped collecting stolen money. Let me summarize my plenty talk. It will happen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will give us shepherds after his heart who will feed us with knowledge and with understanding.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will give us in this country, his church, shepherds after his heart. They will feed us with the truth of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Righteousness will prevail in the body of Christ in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Truth will be precious. We will hold it there and lift it up in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 The Lord is good. Let's rise to our feet quickly. Come on, let's just say, Father, we thank you. Let's just bless the Lord. Just say, Lord, thank you. Let's just say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you for the power in your word. Just quickly declare upon Nigeria again that peace upon you in the name of Jesus, that there will be prosperity within your walls in Jesus' name. And declare upon yourself that as I go out and I come in, no evil will befall me, no plague will come near me in the name of Jesus. Declare it again. Say, this year I will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Just declare that after me. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will.
I'm being filled with the knowledge of his.
Declare like you believe it. I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding,
wisdom.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I'm
pleasing him in all respects.
I'm
bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say,
my faith
is making me increase in the knowledge of God.
By faith,
Christ
is being formed
in me.
Christ
is being formed
completely,
entirely,
filling
every aspect of me
in the name of Jesus Christ.
I declare to you that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will never depart from the presence of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship quickly. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now being filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are sitting high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.